fitting in a Catholic church. There I'm looking at individuals all around me, and there I spot a satanic, richly abused, a chosen one. Now, I'm there because there's an ongoing story about this place, Stairway Coven, the grotto behind. We've been engaging victims of satanic ritual abuse and other abuses at this particular Catholic church building. And we had been up into the woods. We had been back into the grotto. We had sent teams in to observe. This is the place that a young man told me rituals were being done. This is a place that another ritually abused and a practitioner of the dark arts said that sometimes up to 100 hooded individuals would meet back into the cemetery area. Others have told us that there is infiltration and or priests involved. It may be one of the black rooms down in the basement. I know a team individual that had gone down and investigated, searched down deep into the place, looking for the tunnels in that Catholic system. Sitting out there one other Halloween Eve at the grotto behind this Catholic church, candlelight, all the rest of it, it's where they do some of the outdoor stuff, worship stuff, and all of a sudden police show up, canine dogs show up, and the Catholic priest shows up. They thought possibly they were looking for that night hooded individuals, satanic worshipers, and they acknowledged to me, once we showed our identification, that they had had satanic practices going on there. Now, one of the things I can say about this place was little Jackie Cooper, Akron, Ohio, her murderer had gone to jail. He's still in jail, by the way, Michael Duffield. It's all news. It's all in the Beacon Journal. Little Jackie, a little girl that I held, and her sister, and loved them. But she was ritually abused, ritually killed, I think at 14 months or so. She's on our website, SIIUcrimes.com. Now, that involved a man that confesses that he was a black pagan, in his terms, in the newspaper, and that he was a Crowlinian. Now, the mother involved in it, she went to jail for about 10 years for complicity in the death of this little girl. This little girl's bones were broken all over. Numerous other things were done to her over a period of time to cause her pain, to collect the tears, to use her in rituals. Even the bottoms of her feet were stabbed and jabbed, I guess they say, over 40-some times. All done on a slab, the biological father takes me to Stairway Coven, connected Catholic church. More investigation needs to be done because now we have five or six ritually abused and or the death of this little girl and or the sexually abused all connected with that one place. This is the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Website behind everything, shatterthedarkness.net. Now, if you go there right now, you're going to see the slide presentation. Shatterthedarkness.net, part three of Project Pennsylvania. Well, that's we're gonna jump into the Catholic Church and what's been going on there. Now, for years and years, we've been there. Years and years, we've engaged victims that had taken us to the Catholic churches and told us and pointed their finger. More on that in just a moment. We are in an eight-part series, Project Pennsylvania. One of the reasons we've been there for over 25 years, investigating satanic ritual abuse sites, abuse of many other kinds, including the Amish incest generational, well, we're going to talk about it tomorrow night, the rape groups and things like that. We're going to talk about the Catholic system throughout there. We're going to talk about Sandusky, missing District Attorney Gurkar, many other things throughout Pennsylvania. Now, we could pick on other states, and we're not picking on the state of Pennsylvania, per se. This is, we've been called in there well over 25 years ago to deal with victims. Way back then, in the first few years, we had over 100 victims. I don't even know what it is now. Mostly satanic, richly abused. Most of them were, in some sense, taken to Catholic systems, Catholic buildings. We have been taken to them. I want to talk about that tonight, too. But we're going to do this... six more after tonight, five more broadcasts on PA, because a great spotlight from the Attorney General in the last number of years. Remember Kathleen Kane? Remember the Sandusky case? Well, let me tell you something about Pennsylvania. Beautiful land, beautiful woods, beautiful places. So many friends we have there in Pennsylvania. So much rich and good history. Churches I know and pastors I know. But let me tell you, there's a dark, dark underbelly. Now, we could probably do this with California and or many other states, because when it comes to the sexual abuse in and among the Catholic system, it's not just statewide in PA, it's nationwide in the USA. It's worldwide. Take a look at Ireland and Europe and South Africa and Australia. We'll mention that again today, too. Project Pennsylvania is because we've got live, active cases. And we have been in, well, just deep down in the hollers and burrows and places, engaging and trying to help out victims, but also the underreported and the vast numbers. We're going to see, we may touch into the foster care system, the child care system, the richly abused. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Whether we talk about the predator priests, predator and generational sexual abuses within the Amish Mennonite systems think in terms of Lancaster and Belleville and Allensville and many other places around. Places that we have deep interest, victims that we're working with, and perpetrators that we know of left and right. And we've done major prayer-packed investigations. And that's all going to go public down the road here. We're going to tell you that when it comes to all these investigations, please understand, we've got a number in different directions all around us, and many more asking for help. The issue is also, people want us to name names over the radio. We cannot do that in the context of investigations. Things going to state patrol, things that are going to go to feds, things that are going to the Attorney General. It's vital for believers to understand in exposing radical darkness, Ephesians 5, exposing those evil deeds. That little Greek word, look it up. It means that you must have definitive, you know, it's got to be evidential. You cannot play games with innuendo. You cannot do that. And when it comes to engaging the perps, anybody can throw out names and nothing be done. The issue is, and we've known this for years and years, we've got tons of names all over. The big issue is the evidences that will move law enforcement to do what they're going to do. And we've done that in many cases. And we are going to see some major action. And once that action is taken, it's going to go public. There's no question in my mind. So tonight, as we're on the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar. Website behind all of this, the main one, shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, we know that there's perpetrators and other interested parties going to be listening in, or to the archives of this broadcast and all of the Project PA. And we're only going to scratch the surface of what we've engaged and done, and it all depends on what we can do to make sure that victims are safe, exposure is evidential and clear, and then the state, Romans 13, they're going to have to do what they got to do. And we're going to see here in the next month or two, it's going to be public. We'll give you as much as we can publicly here, but I want the victims that are listening in to know that, number one, our prayers are there. You have prayed long enough, you have cried out long enough that God is sending people in, and that God is ripping open the lid of the underground. A lot of it is connected. If you want to go into the Amish multi-generational incest, rape, abuse stuff, if you want to go to the Catholic system, if you want to deal with the Sandusky pedo rings and other bizarre occurrences, the story in Munson there, 1,400 animals sexually used. There's a lot of this, and there's reasons why there's a depth of it in PA. The deeper, darker underground of the ancient brotherhood, many of them and some of the pedophile ring groups are connected among the secret societies. Yeah. And then placed in places of power. So when you deal with the satanic ritual abuse side, which we're going to do in a couple days, that is the broader, deeper, darker, more sophisticated, more dangerous of the underground. And the sexual abuse there and the sex rituals there and the mind control and the trauma, well, that's way off the charts. Any of it should not be tolerated. There should be massive outrage, and that God would just raise up tons of believers. I still ask thousands to be praying. Thousands within Pennsylvania pray. Pray for sweeping revival. One thing about revival, when God comes to cities and or entire states or regions, when real revival strikes, suddenly, such power of God, such illumination, such numbers of people getting saved, such massive conviction that people run to Christ and find new life, and they find forgiveness, and they find the power and grace of God. When revivals like that, when thousands and thousands and thousands begin to turn to the living Christ, and God heals, and God delivers, and God literally unearths, as is his will in Scripture, the dark, secretive underground of all this stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you what, nothing will do that better than massive revival that involves the advance of the kingdom of God. When there is such dark, abusive trauma and destruction of life in secrecy, and then also in demonic, empowered secrecy, well, then you've got deep entrenchment of the dark side and all that it does. Well, tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Glad to be with you tonight. We've got to deal with all of this. If you look at ShatterTheDarkness.net, you're going to see that little slideshow begins with that I'm returning tonight, Tuesday night. That's because we've been out. I had a birthday yesterday, and so mostly whenever I'm not here live, it's because we're on the field in cases, down in the hollers and other places, put up some prayers for us, or I'm at a known conference. We're going to Geneva, Switzerland, the end of September. Pray for that. Pray for us. Inviting and encouraging all of you in Switzerland, France, Scandinavian countries, and UK. Come on, and you could take a look. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Scroll way down. Red Pill Conference. I think it's one of the first of the kind there, and L.A. Marzulli's going, and I think that this is going to be an incredible impact for that area of the world in Europe. It's going to be interesting to see what really is going to happen there. There's all kinds of stories. Well, if you look at that slideshow, ShatterTheDarkness.net, you'll see that part one done, just called Project Pennsylvania Now, is already there, just an overview. Part two has already been up, and it's also kind of an overview and a broad picture of some of the things we are engaged with. Part three tonight is dealing with the Catholic system. Part four next night is Amish Mennonite sex abuse and shame, subjugation, all that. We're going to deal with part five is the pedo rings, bizarre abuse, RICO statutes, and the network, Sandusky and the rest. Then we're going to go on to part six, the deepest, darkest underground, the satanic ritual abuse side of all of this, broader. There's thousands and thousands there waiting for some kind of help. And that's the great need. And that can only be done and cracked into and dealt with by the power of the hand of God involved in many lives like yours. Part 7, we're going to deal with how to uncover, expose, and close the door on predators. And then part 8, healing, new life, empowered, from victim to victors. I think that's vital. I've talked to so many victims over the years. I'm being very honest that the years and years and years of hearing and seeing the pain that so many have carried for decades, some of them decades before they've ever gotten help or even gotten out of that stuff. There are, like, for example, in the SRA side, in the pedophile side, in the Amish side of things, here's what we're convinced of in our investigation of it, engagement of it, that there are literally thousands more sexually abused who have never spoken, who've never come out. They've been subjugated, they've been silenced, and they've just had to be, they've been basically told to stuff it and shut up and be silent and be quiet and be, you know, subjugated. And I think that is an act of human cruelty. And we're going to hit that subject hard as we get into that in a couple nights, because I think that those who are the perpetrators, well, I think that we've read this very clearly. Jesus said, be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck, right, than to face him in the judgment. We want to take a look at that tonight, too. I'll be mentioning that a lot, actually, throughout this series, because it's true. Those who had been the victims for so long, you got to know that God hears the cries, God is moving, and in my estimation, God is beginning to push, and there is a state side of things that needs to happen. Romans 13, there is a truth to them bearing the sword and dealing with things and the legal side of things. And I'm glad to tell you that we have friends, people that we know, that I feel good with in the layers of law enforcement, that are outraged and adamant about nailing the bad guys. Jesus says these words, quote, Matthew 18:6, but whoever misleads one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Have you read that? Let me read it out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. So I'm going to tell you right now that it is a huge, huge violation in the sight of God. Anybody studying Ezekiel chapter 8, the underground abominations included sexual and blood and killing and all the rest of that. And God had to take a good prophet who didn't know and guide him and lead him to find it and see it. God willed the exposure of it with the declaration he was going to bring decimating judgment. That's what I believe. There's no question right now, either right now here, that occurs, but don't forget the great white throne. No perpetrator, no predator, no arrogant, unrepentant individual is going to escape ultimate judgment. The books will be open. Great white throne judgment. You can study about that. So there's an ultimate judgment. Hey, tonight I want to tell you this. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Here's what I love to tell everyone worldwide, 170 nations plus. We love you. We appreciate you. Nobody loves you more. Nobody knows you better. Nobody desires your life the way that God does in Christ. So there is great hope, indestructible hope. In the midst of the dire warnings, the radical shaking of the world around us, well, there's just so much going on right now. We need to realize what time it is prophetically in history. And the only way to really see and know that, so you can number your days before the Lord, so that you can do the best and the most with the one life you have, is to know biblical prophecy and walking in relationship to a Savior, that's every day. And no matter what happens, to know that you can call on Him and count on Him. So may I pray that Jesus, that God stretch out His hand today, that God stretch out His hand to save individuals directly, to stretch out His hand today to bring incredible, astounding healing, including the brokenhearted, the broken inside, that God bring extraordinary healing in the name of Jesus to you. Extraordinary deliverance from the demonic and satanic chains and bondages in the name of Jesus. May God work in such a powerful way, even as we do the broadcast today, because I know He does. God is God, and there's no one like Him. And we're allowed to ask and to receive and seek and to find, and a knock on the door will be opened. We're allowed to pray and see powerful, miraculous miracles. So I'm praying today in Jesus' name for miracles and Jesus to engage you. If you're not saved, you got to come to Christ to be saved and be born of the Spirit of God. And we pray, and you can seek Him too. Take a look, Psalm 103, and seek the Lord for healing. If you got a lot of pain, a lot of trauma in your life, just keep looking at the psalm writers. You're going to see the pain and the suffering and the crying out and the way hurting, abused, rejected, abandoned individuals at times, how they sought the Lord, how they found answers. Psalm 34, great one, I love it. I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. So may God reach out to you. Inside Allentown, Pennsylvania, we're going to do a seminar, small kind of street level at Hava Java Cafe. The owner there, we pray for her, by the way. She's been in the hospital lately. We love her deeply, and we're praying for God to bring healing and Jesus to really heal her in every way. And she knows what I mean by that, because not everything's healed there yet, we know. And we were going to do, she begged us to come and do this street level kind of, you know, seminar in the cafe. She had a microphone, all the rest of it was packed out. We did it a couple times on satanic ritual abuse, on the abuse, and on the healing that God will bring in Christ. So prior to us getting there, a Catholic priest shows up, comes in, and she'd made flyers, posters to put out everywhere to invite people. He came in and took all of them. He took all of the posters, he took them all down, got rid of them. He came in to oppose us. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I have to believe that's a perpetrator. I happen to believe that would be a wicked priest. We've got to take a look into this as a whole, but that's what occurred there. And this kind of thing, we've engaged from Erie, PA to Lititz, PA, all around, as we've involved ourselves with ritually abused individuals, sexually abused individuals, those coming out of the Catholic system. Well, you know the reports right now with Shapiro and the Attorney General there, and you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down a little ways, and you're going to see the video, grand jury report released, KDKA Channel 2 News. 1,000 abused identified. 301 predator priests named in the Pennsylvania grand jury sex abuse report. Everybody that was involved in bringing this to light, everybody involved in knowing anything about this, knows that they have just scratched the surface of this. So I'm going to say this to the Catholic priests and bishops and so forth. I think that everybody now is so far sick of all of this, and the more the reports come out, the sicker they get, the more they want answers, the more they want justice, the more they want healing, the more they want it all to stop. So let me tell you that we want to look at some tiers, like just platforms of this, because what we're saying that occurred in the entire state of Pennsylvania, every single city, now in my state, Ohio, across the nation, you do realize we're talking now thousands of predator priests, right? You know that we're talking about tens of thousands worldwide. Think about Ireland. Think about England. Think about all of the ones that have been. Well, I've got a book I can quote out of called Betrayed by Richard Scorner, all about the underground Catholic abuse in the system. Lost Boys of Bird's Island. Shocking expose. I'm going to talk about that later in the week. We're going to talk about, there's one called Inhumanity in the Name of Jesus, and that's going to, again, to be the betrayal. Anywhere, I don't care if it's a Baptist or Anglican or whatever, but we're talking, because this Catholic thing is so big, so wide, so broad, because major stories were coming out 20, 30 years ago, but they kept covering and kept paying millions and then now billions of dollars. Billions have been spent defending the Catholic system and or paying off the abused. Another book, Broken Trust, I might be quoting out of that tonight also, Remy Dietrich. Healing of Hurts from Your Past, Dietrich also has written. An Irish Tragedy, Joe Riggert has written that. Another book, Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papistry. So I can go on and on, you know, with books on the subject, by the way. But there's more to it than just even the so-called books and everything else. We'll look at that in just a few moments. Glad you're here again. Want you to know that we're going to be in some conferences, I think, coming up. I'm going to probably nix all upcoming, anything else conference-wise. Why? Because we're going to jump and broaden the broadcast radio to AM stations and to other live stream additionals, kind of, I don't want to say syndicated yet, but we're going to jump to others who've now made offers for us to put on our broadcast freely on their systems once that's going to get ready to go. That includes now, we've just been given an offer to a very big, major live stream TV video network on worldwide, by the way. And I think they got, they mentioned to me 2.4 million connected in email and watchers and all that kind of stuff. So soon as we're all geared up for it and they're all geared up for it, we're going to announce that, and we're going to begin our own live stream training courses here locally. So here's what I can do. I've had to pray this and weigh this because I love meeting everybody. We're going to be at some conferences, but not nearly as many. In the past, we've done up to 14, 15 in 1 year, and that's just massive time. And that curtails book writing and then individuals. I have to say to individuals writing me and calling in the hotline, the numbers, the emails are overwhelming. I'm going backwards right now to catch up again to try to get to you. So there's only one reason, time and space, where we're at, when we're gone, when we're back, how many are there, how many I can get to in 1 day. You know, I had like 6 calls yesterday. I got at least 8 that want me to call them today. I don't know if I'll get to all 8 of them because of the length of conversation. I had one last week, an Amish man called me out of the Belleville area of PA. He spoke to me for about an hour and 20 minutes. I'll tell you about that tomorrow night. But that's what I'm saying, is that there's only so much time in 1 day. Our other workers are working, and our primary counselor is working like crazy, and we are recruiting others down the road. But we're also counting on the fact there's many other helpers and workers, and many of you praying Luke's Gospel 10, God raise up more and more and more laborers as never before. So that's important for all of us to remember and to stay committed to. Luke 10, and the fields are white with lost souls worldwide. And of course, sin, Satan, that's the biggest abuse. And living in sin and living under the bondage of Satan, well, that's self-inflicted, sin-inflicted, Satan-inflicted injury in life and loss, and you could lose your soul. Turn to the living Savior. Turn to the Christ that loves you. Turn to the one that knows what it means to be rejected and beaten and cut and subjected and dragged and imprisoned and killed without any sin on his part. What an injustice. So for every single abused individual, a suffering Savior, he knows how how you feel. And if you can ever read Psalm 139, nobody knows how you feel deeper. I mean, even in your own confusion and pain and wondering and everything else, listen, there's someone who knows how you feel, and you're allowed to take the pain and the blood and the guts and the questions and the why and to point to God and to say, look what they've done to me. That's what the writers there in the books of Psalms, they're crying out to God again and again and again concerning the evil done and the evildoers and the rest of that and the pain they're feeling. And they're asking God to step in. They're asking God for deliverance. They're asking God for healing. They're asking God to move. And in every case of 150 Psalms, where the writer, in whatever pain, in whatever condition, when that individual makes God the refuge, even though they cry out and pour out their heart, they don't hold it in. They pour it out to God. In every case, when they make God the refuge, God heals or delivers or speaks or moves or acts and opens new life. I have astounding good news. Jesus brings new life. Anyone coming to Christ, you're a new creation. Behold, all things are new. And the old is past. He knows how to reach in the deep depths of your heart and heal you. And we pray that that'll even be happening as we speak tonight. Those of you that know this, pray, because worldwide in 170 nations, people are going to be listening and downloading, and we're just praying that God will pack and put his hand on this, and Jesus will visit you and engage you. And we're also going to pray that perpetrators and those who recon the show, those who spy only to see where we're going to be at, what we're doing, what we're telling, well, may God engage you as he did the king of Babylon, if necessary, as he did the King Herod in Acts. See, there's some bad guys out there. There's people that we know that we want nailed. Listen, I'll be very frank, that we want nailed completely, because we know they've abused mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually. They've done some for years, and they have multiple victims. There's people now that we know that are in their 70s, 80s, reaching 90, that are major, major predators. And we are praying that God stop them no matter what. In some cases, it is. You got to understand, we have to, you know, I've got to kick the ground and spit at times, because there's people, we want them stopped. We might get one victim out here, one victim out over there, but they're still doing it and doing it and doing it. And they've done it to 100 other individual kids and boys and girls. And yes, I'm outraged. Yes, sometimes I just want to go in and rip them out and drag them out to the street. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to understand how it has to be done. We're going to share that in a couple of nights, how to do this. Because what good would it do if you go and do that, kick them around or something, then you go to jail, no evidence is found, they say they're not guilty, they go on doing what they're doing, and you're in jail now. So we have to do things, and you got to know that, and I'm going to say this to officers and everybody else, and I've told this to officers, even unsaved officers here and there, folks that don't pray or anything, but I don't care. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to tell them how we pray, because I believe God helps us find victims, and I believe that he is searching for them to heal them and get them out. So I think that's vital for all of us to know that God is involved. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. All of us are lost spiritually. We need to be saved, come to Christ. And then there's all kinds of things in a fallen world where Satan really is here, and evil, people that embrace evil, the deeper they embrace evil, the more they harm themselves and others. It's just that simple. Somebody would ask then, why the Catholic system? You could do a search, Bing it, Google it, however you do it. You could do a search on Catholic sex abuse cases. On a broad scale, you're going to see for the last 3 to 4 decades of reports, thousands of priests and tens of thousands of victims worldwide. even there outside the Vatican where Cardinal Law out of Boston has been hidden for years. And he's a perpetrator. He's a cover-up. There's popes that have covered up. Listen, let's just get to the facts of all this, that we know that there's bishops and priests and others that have covered for each other all along the way. And there are those who've written books. We're going to mention those tonight. They've named names. They've given the names. But just your own search. I mean, go to shatterthedarkness.net and take a look at that. Just scroll down a little bit. There's a video. Grand jury report. Take a listen to that. Where it says the preemptor update today, take a look at that. And where it says Project Pennsylvania, take a look at that page. That's going to tell you what we're doing, and I'm going to keep adding more and more to that page. As you scroll down, you're going to see what looks like a religious figure, a little girl being held up. That comes from a composite story of victims, and we're thinking we know we've engaged the person, and we're engaging the persons there, and we're going to do more than just that. You'll see an FBI billboard that we took a picture of. That's our case originally, Kathy Menendez, Sarah Bain. She was about 13, 14, taken out of Rochester, Pennsylvania, on a satanic ritual night, Demons Revels, back in 94. I don't want to say, but I mean, just slaughtered and killed. It would involve sexual abuse, blood and sacrifice and demons and all the rest. That case is not over. We've turned evidence. We're going to turn more definitive evidence to the new feds that are over this case, and we're going to push the issue. I've talked to the parents of those individuals. We've hunted them down and prayed and found them and told them we're praying for them. And Sarah's dad, Jack, appreciated the time. He's gone now, dead. Kathy's mother deeply appreciated discussing, sitting on her porch, praying for her. So these are stories that we know and engaged the victim that tried to kill me in front of officers who had to, four of them had to put him down and leg chain him and arm chain him and the rest. A big story behind that. It's not done yet. Now, we're going to tell you also, if you look down a little bit, the Black Awakening I wrote is all about, there's a number of cases out of Pennsylvania that's in that book. So we were already, you know, engaging Pennsylvania late 80s, deeply through the 90s, and constantly to this day, all over the place in PA. And we've developed a lot of friends and a network, and we're doing more and more and more. And now we want to just recruit. First of all, I know we could probably recruit just in Pennsylvania 1,000 prayer warriors, and then more helpers and more workers. There's also Stained by Blood by Doug Hagman. You know the radio show Hagman Hagman. Now he probably doesn't know. Maybe he does right now. But I'm really plugging his book because the perpetrators in that book are primarily Pennsylvania-based, and they're still, what you read there, they're still alive, still some of them, they're still active all over PA. The Satan Hunter by Tom Wedge, that's a basic primer if you want to understand some satanic crimes. Lucifer's Lodge, you can find that now. Well, William Kennedy's dead. He was appointed by Malachi Martin, the Jesuit, Malachy believed there's a deep, dark, satanic underground in the Vatican area. He believed it was worldwide. You know, the whole story, look it up, Vatican, the smoke of Satan. But Lucifer's Lodge, and I'm not saying it's a biblically, you know, pure book. I'm just saying it's a good research book to read. William Kennedy, now gone also, and some wonder about that. Some wonder about Malachi Martin and his death, a new video or the movie on Netflix that's out concerning that, implicates dark undergrounders and even dark powers in that death because he wanted to expose more. So William Kennedy is commissioned basically by Malachi Martin to dig in Boston and Ireland and other places all around and go ahead, name names, and bring to light the underground satanic sex abuse, pedophile, you know, stuff that's going on all over. So he does that, unleashes the book, and I'm going to tell you online, if you type in Lucifer's Lodge by William Kennedy, PDF, you can get a free copy. That's the whole copy. I don't think you can buy the book now, brand new, but you can get that and take a read. There's a dozen books on the Amish Mennonite background, Pennsylvania, and other parts of the nation of those who had been sexually abused and used and they got out and they're healed and freed. The book Unshackled, the story of mind control and rest, Kathleen Sullivan, out of Pennsylvania. The book Spilled Milk. The book Between Two Gods, Trudy Metzger. Memoir of Abuse in the Mennonite Community. You got to read some of this and know, and you're talking about people who have been abused. They've been through the abuse. They know how it works. And when it comes to that Mennonite Amish thing, we'll do it tomorrow night. Tonight, the Catholic system. Now, why would anybody want to even do that? I mean, as far as, I mean, here's why. And here's what we found over the years, that there are so many victims of abuse that have never come out. They've either tried to get away, move away, drink, become, you know, sexually, just some of their responses to the abuses have only brought deeper tragedy to their lives, and drugs and alcohol and meds and psychologists and psych wards, and they're trying to sort it out. And I'm going to say that the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of the human being and the redeemer, Jesus, he knows you. Go look at Psalm 139. He knows you, fearfully and wonderfully made. But yes, because of Satan, because of sin and its depths, and the more anybody embraces sin, the more they become literally like Satan in his nature. They can do atrocities, the Nazis, and all the rest. But tonight, the Catholic system, you do the studies, you take a look at the broadcasts, and that we're doing right now. But if you do the searches online and if you begin to look across the board, you're not going to believe. Once again, I'm going to tell you that it moves into the thousands of Catholic priests and bishops and others. Major, and I believe, evidential evidences, I think, that implicate popes in the past that did nothing. And by the way, everybody's talking about what the Pope, current Pope, just did in coming out. And his words are very strong against sexual predators. His words are very strong, but the sexually abused, those who were in the Catholic system that have been abused all these years, they're still looking for the language that says he's going to go after them, that he's going to, you know, that he's, you know, it's not going to be, there's no more cover up, that they're going to go after them deeply. But we got to start somewhere else, too. Why so deep, so broad, and so wide in the Catholic system? The largest religious institution in the world, physical institution, the Catholic system. Billions and billions of dollars in holding. Vast amounts. Now, I've already done a 3 or 4 part series a year or so ago on the Roman Catholic system, doctrine, different things like that. That's not my intent here tonight. I'm just telling you that a religious system, the Catholic system worldwide, has a massive problem, has had a massive problem that stems back to the late 40s. And there's a reason why. That, let's talk about some of those reasons. Let's talk about, number one, the system itself. And there's a problem because when you have religion and even Christianity kind of clouded and cloaked in you know, extra biblical teachings and syncretism and all the rest of that, when salvation is obscured and people aren't born of the Spirit of God and have the living Christ within, that's when there is kind of this outward, it's kind of like an outward stained glass window, and there's no light, there's no power, there's nothing inside. See, the issue is inside, the sin nature, and salvation involves forgiveness and the breaking of the sin nature and the empowerment of a new nature, the empowerment to live for Christ and the empowerment to live according to the Word of God, which is the ultimate source of authority. So that's missing in all of its clarity, and I think that, and I can say this clearly, engaging the Catholic system for years, there's a lot of priests that aren't born again of the Spirit of God, like John chapter 3 speaks about, like Titus chapter 3 speaks about. Romans 8 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So if you have individuals that are priests and bishops and religious leaders, that's what they are, religious leaders. They can have robes on, they can have vestments on, they can have religious symbols on, they can carry those things with the incense and the smoke, they can do services that they read out of books, they can do a lot of things in a religious, liturgical sense. Stop for a moment and mark down John's Gospel, chapter 7. Jesus is at a massive religious gathering. A gathering. It's all religious, but they're missing the mark. It's all religious, but they're not embracing the ultimate truth that God brings in Christ. So you have God in human flesh stands up among this major religious festival, and he says, he cries out to them, if anybody's thirsty. And that's what he'd say today. If anybody's thirsty spiritually, if anybody really wants to know God, if anybody really wants the peace of God, if anybody really wants the presence of God deep down in their life, Jesus said, if anybody wants that, whoever believes, here's his invitation. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow rivers of living water. Look at the context, the power of the Holy Spirit. Any human being anywhere in the world that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, that he died for them, was buried for them, rose from the dead, and he is the Savior, and he is. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. The Bible teaches that God summons all people everywhere. And if you do not have Jesus and the very Spirit of God dwelling in you, Romans 8 tells you this, you're none of his. You could have triple robes on. You could have 50 crosses all over you. I mean, there's drug-infested rock and roll stars that have crosses all over them, and they're not any more saved than many of the priests. So please understand that Jesus is the authority. He's the Savior. The Word of God is the final authority when it comes down to what salvation is and what Jesus did to provide that. So I'm going to say this. The problem is, if you're in a religious system, this is true among the possible Amish and others and Anglicans, and where that clarity of salvation and its power is obscured by liturgical, outward, man-made religious stuff. That religious stuff can preoccupy, can look religious, can seem mystical, but have no life in it. The Bible says it this way, a form of godliness but denying the power. A form of godliness but denying the power. And that's vital to understand. Because if a priest is listening tonight and listening to this broadcast, you've got to ask, according to Romans 8, are you born of the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of God inside of you? Forget about the so-called church and church systems. The church never died for you. The church is not the Savior. Jesus is. And he's the only one that can. So it's important to know that. It's important to know that very clearly. So I want to read to you Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And it tells us here to stay away from folks like that. Because the blind can't lead the blind. Like the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were all religious. They didn't know God. Jesus engaged them in all of their religious garb they wore, in all their religious haircuts they wore, symbolism, and all of the things they were doing, all the rituals, you know, religious things they were doing. But he's telling them, you don't know God. So, to anyone, any Catholic, anybody, Anglican, anyone, does the Spirit of the living God dwell in you because you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? And that love and that forgiveness and that empowerment, that living presence of God is inside of you. You can study John's Gospel 7 to see the invitation. You can study detailed understanding of this, Romans 8. You can take a look at Titus chapter 3 and see the same thing that I'm talking about. I hope that you do. Because it's important to understand a system worldwide that misses that clarity tells you that it's not right with God, not right with the living Christ, not as clear and distinct as the Word of God actually is. And religious systems that are based on extra-biblical teaching that has nothing to do with the Word of God becomes a bondage, becomes part of a preoccupying blinding to those who actually want. Are you saved? Does the Spirit of Jesus live in you? Jesus wants you. Jesus can only save you. And when he does, his Holy Spirit comes into you. Even read Ephesians 1 and you'll see, having believed, you heard the gospel, having believed on Jesus, you're marked in him with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And him dwelling in you is the guarantee of your eternal life and you're seeing God face to face. So in the sheer broad picture that they didn't want you to know, but everybody's tired of, everybody's sick of, everybody's outraged over now. The victims, and I give you all credit in Snap and other places, many of you, and I'm going to probably meet one of you, you've written to me and you want to meet in Pittsburgh, and I'm not going to say who and when and where and all that, but I and a couple of others have written about, you know, there are those from the Catholic system that have written to me, abused in the sexual abuse sense, pointing to priests that we have no trouble going, you know, we have no problem going after that and investigating and beginning to see the evidences. And if you got evidence, then get to a trusted someone that you know in the context of law enforcement. We have some of those people. We have some folks now in PA that we are now trusting to take the information we have, and they're going to go. They're going to dig. They're going to go investigate. They're going to interrogate. They're going to go after perpetrators. They've already done it. They've got a history of it. That's why we're going to go. That's why we're going to surrender all that information to them. Again, worldwide, tens of thousands of abused, thousands, if not thousands more, of predator priests, bishops, cover up, all the way to the Vatican. It's one thing to admit it and say that it's bad, we're sorry, and we're repenting, but in that speech the Pope just gave, what are you going to do? How are you going to clean house? Who are you going to go after? I'd say start with Cardinal Law there in the Vatican City. Go deal with who's, you know, and you know, maybe he's gone now. Deal with that which you know, that which has been covered up for years and years. So believers can begin to pray more and more, because I believe this in Pennsylvania. For 25 years, we've been driving through praying and praying and praying and praying and asking others to pray, and the tens, then hundreds, now maybe thousands, and pray for exposure. Pray to find the victims. I believe what's happening right now is answers to the prayers of many and answers for the victims, and they're number one. They've had enough of the life stolen out of them. The kinds of I can't even say over the air. I don't even think in this system that I'm on right now that I can say. That might be done on video and put up for those who want to see, but I can tell you right now the victims that we've engaged even lately that have told the overwhelming sex abuse, rape abuse, violent abuse, including subjugation, silencing, threatening, stuff that went on, well, you know what? They deserve healing, help, freedom. They deserve to be heard. And so we're praying that God's going to help us find all the folks in the Amish system and pedophile system and ritualist system and all the rest of that. But you know what we're talking about here now? Anybody that knows the inside, foster care, child care, sock boards, counseling systems, Catholic systems, ritual abuse systems, Amish behind the scenes, you're now talking in Pennsylvania thousands upon thousands of victims. Oh, do a little survey in the state of Pennsylvania on incarceration of sex offenders. How many? Lancaster. Do a little study and see how many. And watch out for those who are trying to protect the rapists and pedophiles. Watch out for those who are trying to cover up and defend the rapists and the pedophiles in the wrong way. I've engaged that lately, and we're going to come out with the information on that also. Let me also say concerning the Catholic system, the priests, with worldwide in that largest physical religious system in the world, you have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of victims. Some of from 50 years ago, some are in their 70s, some 60s, some 40s, some of it's current because of the ongoing system and cover-up and hiddenness. But here's what they didn't tell you in the entire Catholic system of things is the satanic side. And there are many Catholic boys and girls that have been sexually abused horrifically over and over and over. And many of them who've gone to court have been told, keep the bizarre religious things out of it. Just go to court, get a settlement. But the satanic black rooms, the underground rituals, these Catholic priests, if you go back to the end of the 40s, follow the Nazi rat lines, find out that some of those SS, some of the worst of the worst in the old black flame, the old dark side, that in running and leaving just flowed into the Catholic system. And the Pope back then and others allowed them to come in. Many of the 85 to 95-year-old predator, sexual predator, ritual predator priests were original Nazis. They were the original Nazis. 85, 90, 95, and so you're going to find German-speaking original Nazis. If you find German-speaking original Nazis that became fake priests or got in there to protect their own lives from being hunted down by the Nazi hunters, though many of them been found, well, they just continued their ring. They continued to produce satanic, ritually abused, breeding, chosen one, satanic side of things. So worldwide, there's a underground of this that has gone on since the early 1950s. And so many of the sexually abused that are coming out in the Catholic system are pointing their finger at 85, 90-year-old, and 95-year-old, some of dead, many dead, and they're going to go back to being the satanic priests, the Nazis. And then you drop down to the 60s and down to the 40-year-olds and so forth, and you're going to find pedophiles and predators, and many of the younger ones were, they were abused. So pedophiles that abuse and abuse and abuse and abuse turn some people into future pedophiles that do the same thing. Lucifer's Lodge, again, I'm going to tell you to read. I don't have time to quote that tonight. I don't have time to get into that. I was going to quote a little bit of that book, Betrayed. Quote, how much filth is there in the church, or the Roman system, as I say it, even among those who in the priesthood should belong entirely to God? Pope Benedict's limit at a Good Friday Mass in 2005 came 25 years after the first big Catholic abuse scandal erupted. In the United States, two decades on, the crisis showed no signs of abating. In fact, it was soon to be deepened with revelations from Germany implicating Pope Benedict himself. In 1983, Gilbert, a priest in Lafayette, Louisiana, was exposed as a pedophile. The case set in motion events which have devastated the Catholic system across the world. In 1985, defense attorney Ray Mouton and a Vatican official, Tom Doyle, wrote a 92-page report in which they pleaded with the U.S. Church to confront the issue of sexual abuse. If left to fester, the report predicted, the scandal would involve up to 1,000 predatory priests and cost the church in the U.S. $1 billion in legal settlements. It warned that child abusers presented a particular danger. The recidivism rate is so high. Now I'm reading a book. It deals with silence implicates cover-up. Betrayed, subtitled The English Catholic Church. in the sex abuse crisis. There's a dozen other books out, over a dozen other books out that are telling you the same thing. So I'm going to tell you right now, take a read, William Kennedy, take a read at some of the things. God have mercy on you who have been abused. I love you. I'm sorry they've done this to you. I'm sorry they've hurt you. I'm sorry they brought this to your life. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the Savior. He's the real. He's real. Fake religious, I don't care if they had Jesus written on their forehead or robes. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Are they born of the Spirit of God? Do they walk in obedience to Jesus? Do they show Christ-like character? And obviously, they would never hurt a child. Millstone tied around the neck of the perpetrator? Oh, they're going to be dealt with. Well, I pray that in a miraculous way, God's going to bring such healing to you. And we all pray that together. Going to pray for many thousands and thousands, up to 10 million fierce believers need to get up and battle and become like Philip, Acts chapter 8. The more you know him, the more deeper you are in Christ, the better you're going to help the abused, the better you're going to be able to appoint bold as a lion, engaging the predators to deal with that. Love you tonight. Russ Dizdar, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Remember us in your prayers. Remember Shadow the Darkness in support. We need your help. Good night.